Dear fellow Roman Catholic believers, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I have a terrible, rather embarrassing confession to make before all of you. I have a deep personal prejudice, and it's against an entire race and a continuing religion. I absolutely can't stand Samaritans. Now, you may not know who Samaritans are. They are a people whose origins are in the Holy Land, in Samaria. That is the northern part of the land of Israel. Their ancestry is mixed. About 6 centuries before Christ, after the destruction of the first Jewish temple by the Babylonians and the exile of many of the Jewish people, the Samaritans came into being. They were the result of unlawful intermarriage between the Jews that were left behind and the non-Jews who were either always there or who immigrated into Palestine when the Jews were driven out. Those Samaritans believed in the God of Israel. They believed in the Torah, the law of Moses, but they did not accept the Jewish prophets. They also had their own priesthood, claiming descent from Aaron, the brother of Moses, but not related to or accepted by the priesthood of Jerusalem. They did not worship on Mount Zion in the second temple that the Jews rebuilt in Jerusalem after their return from the Babylonian captivity. But instead, they worshiped on their own holy mountain called Mount Gerizim. Now the Jews and the Samaritans lived among one another, but they detested one another. In fact, the Jews hated the Samaritans even more than they hated the Gentile pagans, because they considered Samaritans to be both heretical and schismatic. Now, the reasons for my own prejudice against Samaritans has nothing whatsoever to do with the Old Testament, but has everything to do with their role in the New Testament. They show up rather often in our Christian Gospels. For example, when the enemies of the Lord wanted to attack his reputation, they actually called Jesus a Samaritan, because they couldn't imagine a worse insult they could hurl against him. When Jesus and his disciples were journeying up to Jerusalem to worship in the Jewish temple, some Samaritans harassed them. James and John wanted to call down fire from heaven as punishment. But Jesus seemed to view things quite differently. Remember when he cured 10 lepers, but only one came back to give thanks? Yeah, you guessed it. It was a Samaritan. And it was he who gave praise to the Lord. Remember when Jesus met the woman at the well and revealed to her the mysteries of living water where no one would ever thirst again? It was to a Samaritan woman that Jesus gives this awesome revelation. And remember, in today's gospel, when Jesus answers the lawyer's question about who is my neighbor with one of his instructive parables, it was a Samaritan, a good Samaritan, who goes way out of his way to take care of a robbed and wounded stranger, and he is presented to us as a model of neighborliness. No wonder the Jews couldn't stand those Samaritans. In the Gospels, nearly always they come off as goody-goods. I think in most instances, honestly, I would have acted more like the Lord's own countrymen. For example, if I had just been cured of something as disgusting and terrifying as leprosy, I'd have been so anxious to officially show myself to the priests as quickly as possible and get their ritual approval so that I could go back to my family and friends, I'm quite sure I wouldn't have been the first coming back to Jesus just to say thanks. And if I were a priest or a Levite going down from Jerusalem to Jericho on my way home after the awesome privilege of serving in God's holy temple, I don't think I would have stopped to help a complete stranger risk ritual pollution after just savoring the sanctity of the sanctuary by touching a man covered with blood. And I certainly would never be so stupid as to leave any of my own money with an innkeeper who in those days would nearly always have been a crook, a sinner, a lawbreaker, especially to take care of somebody I had never met and who had no obvious claim on my generosity. I guess that's why I can't stand those Samaritans. In the Gospels, they always seem to do the very things I always find hard to do. Too inconvenient, too demanding. Today's parable of the Good Samaritan is a rather typical example of being challenged to move beyond the reasonable and called to do more of what I wouldn't always prefer. Most of the parables of Jesus really defy common sense. For example, no practical, hard-headed shepherd who lost only one of his 100 sheep would go off on a wild goose chase looking for a single lost lamb. No reasonable father of a prodigal son would throw him a welcome home party. No good businessman would ever pay someone who had only worked 1 hour exactly the same pay as someone who had worked hard all day long. And certainly, no prudent, cautious man traveling on a dangerous road would stop and help an injured man he didn't even know. He would probably just keep on walking, perhaps a little faster than before. These stories told by Jesus, when you really stop to think about them, are jarring, disruptive, even dangerous. They are amazing, even unsettling, sometimes irritating, even confrontational, if we really try to listen to them. They can make us feel uncomfortable because they disturb our normal way of thinking and our accepted ways of living. But by shattering the standards and certitudes of our everyday, often unexamined lives, the parables could make us vulnerable before our God. They make demands that are shocking, and that we may begin in that shock to start to understand the reign of God as God sees it and not as we had imagined it. And as always, it's right at that point of a parable where we might become offended, where our values could be subverted, that we might finally be able to hear the gospel, the Lord's good news. The message of the parable demands conversion, a profound change of our hearts and our minds. God's ways are not our ways. And the kingdom of God is more surprising than we would have ever guessed. That's why I don't like the Samaritans. In the Gospels, they always get right what I too often get wrong. And it is disconcerting that those despised Samaritans should have anything to teach me or God's people about the unlimited nature of God's love for everyone and our obligation to love everyone else in exactly the same unlimited way. God's mercy reaches the point of extravagance, even of danger, even of folly. And God's kingdom can be found in the most unlikely places and welcomed and embraced by the most unlikely people. I'm speaking honestly. I would often prefer a more tame religion. And I find it hard to surrender my heart, my mind, my strength, my soul to all the unlimited invitation of Christ. I guess it's because of folks like me that Jesus first taught his parables, but also because of folks like me, he also gave us the infinite grace and mercy that we can know in the Eucharist. We are challenged to change and believe in the good news. But in the Eucharist, God gives us the power, the grace to change and do as he asks. In the Eucharist, the very bread come down from heaven is our food and drink. And in that Eucharist, we can be transformed, not just the bread and wine. The awesome mystery of the Mass allows us to taste, even on earth, the love and mercy of heaven. At the table of the Lord, we are all brothers and sisters. And in this sanctuary, no one is a foreigner, a Samaritan, a hated enemy. As St. Paul teaches us in today's second reading, in Jesus, the firstborn of all creation, the fullness of God has pleased to dwell. And through him, all races, all nations are reconciled, all those in heaven and all those on earth. Christ has made our peace through the blood of his cross. And now in the most holy sacrifice of the Mass, he is truly present for us as teacher and Savior. So while it may be hard for me and perhaps you to love and serve like that good Samaritan in the Gospel, we can be entirely confident of the Lord's help in our need. As our first reading from Deuteronomy assures us, the command that God enjoins on us today is not far away. It's not up in the sky, nor across the sea. No, it is something very near to us, already in our mouths and in our hearts. What is the message? You should love God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. And you should love your neighbor as yourself. This is the law and the prophets. This is the sure path to life without end. And as Jesus encourages us in today's gospel, we need to follow the example of that good Samaritan. As the Lord said, go and do likewise.